Hey Loco Sports fans, today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Preferred Pharmacy. If you've been using a big corporate pharmacy, you probably aren't getting great customer service, but it doesn't have to be that way. The Preferred Pharmacy accepts more insurance plans than most of the big guys, and they have everything you need, like high-quality, lab-tested CBD products and on-site immunizations, without the long wait times and red tape. So if you want to save time and keep your business local, stop by The Preferred Pharmacy in Okotie, conveniently located between Jersey Mike's and Las Palmas. It's like having a pharmacist in the family. Hey, Loco Sports fans, welcome to another edition of the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Jarrett, joined as always by producer and co-host Wes Kerr. And Wes, we got a lot to get through, wrapping up basketball season and then moving full-fledged into spring sports, as well as a little COVID-19 talk. We got to talk about it. It's coming. It's here. We could be seeing some repercussions very soon. So we'll chat about that in a little bit. But first of all, let's talk about some high school basketball. We had the state championship game in Class 2A on Friday. Had Whale Branch's boys going for the state title up in Columbia. A few of us were able to make the trip. Unfortunately, you weren't able to go with us this time, but myself and Carlo Peruzza and Bracken Lambert, as well as Gabriel Jenkins, one of our interns from Buford High, made the trip up there to see the game. And the Warriors showed out well. I mean, the crowd traveled. They were there in big numbers, cheering them on. Warriors got off to a great start. Unfortunately, had a couple of, you know, foul calls that could have gone either way that went against them, that put them in foul trouble. And they just didn't have the depth along the front lines to be able to hang with Gray Collegiate, which had a bunch of bigs and matchup problems on the wings. And it became difficult with Nick Pringle in foul trouble, Sean Chisholm in foul trouble. Final score of 53-39 in favor of Gray, but an outstanding showing by the Warriors. Unfortunately, they had so many seniors. It's going to be a tough road to get back there for them next year. But what a great season and what a great ride. And it was fun to go up there and at least see them compete against a team that has blown people out the past couple of years in the state championship game.
Yeah, they're going to remember this year for a long time in Seabrook. A hard-fought championship game, just could not match up against an elite Gray Collegiate squad. How awesome was it to see that 9-1 start after they kept going slow and slow out of the gates for much of the playoffs? And unfortunately, two early Pringle fouls forced them to sit for some time. Chase McDuffie and Gray Collegiate made their big run. And the Warriors kept fighting like they always do. Some important plays from Sean Chisholm and a powerful dunk by Nick Pringle after a missed jumper that kept them within two at halftime. But again, the second half, once Pringle had to sit with that third foul, the War Eagles drained a massive three. McDuffie again extending the lead. And then it was Pringle's swan song. Committed two fouls in just 85 seconds, and that forced him to check out for the final time with still 5 minutes left in the game. So I feel for him, that's a painful way to end your high school career. And after that, there just wasn't much left. Without Nick, this team just isn't the same. But they hung with the War Eagles all night, and if the ball bounced their way just a couple more times, who knows, they could have dethroned a dynasty. Fantastic effort by a team refusing to stop fighting. What a bunch of Warriors they really were all season long.
Yeah, I think three of Nick's five fouls easily could have been no calls, or, you know, one of them was a charge that could have gone the other way. One of them looked like a clean block, and then the other one was kind of a ticky-tack that could have been a no call easily, especially as loose as they called that game. It was pretty physical. So, you know, there were a few that went against them, and that's going to happen. You know, they go both ways. I never get too up in arms about officiating because, you know, I don't think between conspiracy and competence, it's usually incompetence. It's a hard job, and you miss calls, and it usually works out on both ends of the floor. But it certainly played a factor in that game because, you know, when Pringle's out of the game, they just didn't have a big who could really challenge shots in the paint. And that allowed McDuffie to really be able to drive to the basket, which is his strength. He's able to get into the lane and score at will, basically, when Pringle's off the floor. So, you know, tough break for them, but they had a great game plan. They executed it. They just had to have everything go their way to be able to beat a team like that, and it didn't. So an outstanding season, though. A great way to wrap up the season at the Colonial Life Arena. It's always good when we're able to get up there to end the season because that means somebody's playing on the last day. So a lot of fun. It was a great basketball season, and we want to thank
all of our sponsors for basketball. The big one, Coastal Plains Insurance of the Lowcountry, sponsor our coverage for boys and girls all season. Jimmy John's and Bluffton jumped on the second half of the season and supported boys basketball coverage. And then, of course, we'll be looking for sponsors for the All-Loco basketball team, as well as the Loco Basketball Showcase. You've probably seen that the NBA has suspended their season. The NCAA has said they will play March Madness in empty arenas, and I still think there's a good chance that that entire tournament ends up getting suspended or canceled. It's definitely something that's on our radar. We're keeping a close eye. Have not heard of any confirmed cases in Beaufort County as of now, as we're recording. I know there is one Beaufort High School employee who is on self-quarantine and being tested, and then I've heard rumblings that there are others in the county who are being monitored and tested. If it becomes a concern, we will not cancel the basketball showcase. We will find an alternative date and postpone it because I know a lot of people are excited about it, and we want to obviously raise money for the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Lowcountry and also give the players the opportunity to participate in a special event like that. So we're looking at alternative dates. We don't want to put people in a situation where they feel uncomfortable going into a big crowd. Could, you know, very easily spread the virus if anyone unknowingly has it. It could easily spread it, you know, throughout the community and both sides of the Broad River and all throughout Beaufort and Jasper County. So we don't want to be a contributor to that. We don't want to be a vector. So we'll keep an eye on it, and we'll keep you posted. But we'll have a Loco basketball showcase at some point, and it will be a healthy, happy environment for everyone.
Yeah, we hope for the best during a difficult time all across the world. And I think the important thing to do is stay safe. After what happened to Rudy Gobert, as you said, NBA player coming down with the coronavirus, and his teammate just breaking a couple hours ago as well. But we hate to see a future star suffer something like this, or any other spectator or individual having to come down with the scary virus. And as much as I'm looking forward to this awesome event, more than anything else, I want this community to stay safe so we can look forward to the many accomplishments to come here in the Lowcountry.
Absolutely. And another event that, you know, I'm sure is monitoring this closely, and I haven't spoken to them about it yet, but I'm sure the RBC Heritage is concerned about the virus and, you know, the pandemic status, because, again, you're trying to limit large gatherings of people, and there's no bigger one in Beaufort or in South Carolina, really, than the RBC Heritage. So I'm sure that's on their radar. They have a little bit more time, so hopefully, you know, in the next month, that's able to clear out and not be as much of a concern. They also have the benefit of being in open air outdoors, which is much more beneficial to preventing the spread of the virus than being in a confined space where you're all breathing the same air. Hopefully that will go off. And as of right now, it's expected to as planned. So let's talk a little bit about the latest round of commitments, Wes. We got a whole bunch more top 30, top 25 type guys, including another top 10 and a guy who's got a chance to maybe make some noise here. I like his game a lot at Harbortown, and that's Tommy Fleetwood, the Englishman.
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood from Southport, England, 6 international wins, top 10 finish in the 2020 Honda Classic, and had a very nice run 2 years ago in the U.S. Open, placing second. And so you got to think Tommy Fleetwood would be among those guys you definitely have to keep a watch on. Sungjae Im, number 25 on the world rankings. He's from South Korea. He won at the Honda Classic. You got Kevin Na, who's a veteran as well. He won the Shriners Hospital for Children Open. He's played Harbortown a ton, 5 top 10 finishes. Tyrell Hatton from High Wycombe, England. He's won 3 tournaments, and he was also a member of the 2018 Ryder Cup. So that's a big distinction, being named to Team Europe. That is enormous to be one of those top players in Europe and have a chance to represent that area in the Ryder Cup. And then Danny Willett, who you might remember from the 2016 Masters when Jordan Spieth collapsed in the final round, and Willett came through to win it in 2016, shot a 5-under final round to edge Spieth. 6 international wins for Willett from Sheffield, England. And Cameron Smith also joining from Brisbane, Australia. He won the Sony Open, and he has 2 international victories. So, you know, I'm excited to see these guys perform. You just never know which guy will be the one to break through and put it all together on the weekend and pick up the tartan jacket. And that's why the Heritage is so exciting to follow. So incredibly unpredictable. And let's just hope that this pandemic will overcome and we'll be able to get an opportunity to cover this fantastic tournament here in 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it would be detrimental to the local economy, obviously, as well. But also just, you know, it's one of the most fun weeks of the year. So we'd hate to lose it for a year. I like M. He's got a shot to do something. He's been playing exceptionally well lately. Kevin Na's a guy who always plays well here, and I've always thought he's a guy who could win here. You mentioned top 10 finishes, so he's a guy who could break through. So getting some good names on there. It's going to be a great event. Hopefully we can, you know, corral this virus and get back to normalcy here soon. A little bit of high school golf action to talk about. Buford Academy won an event at Paris Island, the first ever event hosted by Holy Trinity's young golf team. BA getting the W at the Legends. And then Hilton Head High came up with a nice win in the first local meet of the public schools the other night as well. They came out on top with a couple guys shooting even. Nolan Hawkins and Derek Bunce with the 36 even par over 9 holes. So solid showing for the Seahawks with a 149, won it by 18 over May River. Great start for them. And Wes, that's a team that had a great run last year, and they're trying to do it again this year.
Excellent work by the BA boys. A nice 9-hole score by Cal Harvey and Jack Carter-Worrell, and some low finishers on the Christian Academy Eagles as well for Ethan Ducharme and Tage Etheridge. So these early season successes can really fuel you to head into more meaningful competitions later in the year. And a dominant victory, dominant competition for the Seahawks. It seems like par for the course these days. Two guys actually shot par. 4 out of 5 Seahawks break 40. That is certainly not easy to do. And how about a nice 38 from Bluffton's Jones Sailor and a trio of May River boys all shooting even 40. So impressive stuff by our local golfing contingent early on.
Absolutely. We always expect good golf in Hilton Head for sure, the area, surrounding area. Moving on to soccer. We got a few things to talk about soccer-wise. The one that I was excited to see was Bluffton's old coach, Josh Fox, who led them to the state championship game in his final season at Bluffton High School, now at JP2, and he took his new team into his old stomping grounds on Friday night. But the Bobcats ruined the night for him. They win easily, I believe 7-1. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe 7-1 over JP2. And then they also came back with a nice win over Porter Gow the other night. So they're, you know, beating up on skis the competition right now, but they're doing it in an impressive way against some pretty solid teams and looking pretty good for Region 4 7A, I believe.
Yeah, Josh Fox returning did not have the best welcome back visit at Bluffton. His new Golden Warriors got taken down. They're dominated by the duo of Uriel Zacharan and Davidson Alvarez, each picking up a hat trick, and an awesome day as well for Brian Murillo, picking up 3 assists along with Alvarez. So that's 9 points for Alvarez if you're scoring at home. That's insane. They peppered JP2 with 47 shots on 18 on goal. Talk about dominating a game. Bluffton did that and more against Josh Fox.
Also had some exciting action over this one's fun. Over at Hilton Head Christian Academy, we had 2 Paduzzis and 2 hat tricks in one night. Abby Paduzzi with the hat trick in the girls game, and then JP Paduzzi with the hat trick in the boys game. I know our pal Ron, the football coach, and his wife or Janet are very excited about that. 2 hat tricks in one night is pretty special.
Yeah, they must be over the moon after seeing not one but 2 kids pick up the hat tricks. JP does it, dominant 8-1 win over Holy Trinity. Pair of goals for both Cameron Strickland and Khalil Chaplin. And a strong defensive job by Rashad Gatson holding down Trinity for the majority of the match. And then Riley Shin making the most of his opportunities in goal with 5 saves. Then Abby gets it done, scoring all 3 for the Lady Eagles in a 3-0 win over the same school. And a nice combined clean sheet for Michaela Kelka and Isabel Cunningham to lock down the win. I think a nice dinner must have been in order after those games.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You definitely got to celebrate that one a little bit. That's pretty special. A couple other things to talk about soccer-wise. We had JP2 girls with a nice win, 3-0 over BA to start the season. And Buford Academy's boys returned the favor with a 1-0 win over the Golden Warriors. And then a couple other teams to keep an eye on here. Impressive starts north of the Broad from Battery Creek's boys. They're 3-0 with 3 straight shutouts to start the season, including a 13-0 win in region play over Wade Hampton. And Bridges Prep is going to be a team to keep an eye on. Their boys are looking good as well. They dominated 14-0 over Low Country Leadership, and then they came back with a 7-0 win over Holy Trinity on Wednesday. So they're off to a great start, 3-0. and looking good. So a couple teams we're going to have to keep an eye on as the season goes on.
Absolutely. And the JP2 girls, an excellent shutout, 3-0 win over Beaufort Academy, a phenomenal defensive effort. They only allowed 3 shots all game. Abby Quinty saved all of them. And then there's a fun story at the end. Another girl comes in goal with 15 minutes left, and it's none other than Takai DeVore taking the field for her first ever minutes as a Warrior soccer player. Who says she can't be a goalie? We've seen how athletic she could be fighting for those million rebounds she picked up this year. How awesome is that for the soon-to-be John Paul graduate? Katie Lee Floyd, an important goal in the first half, and then Renee Delgado, along with Jin White, sealed things in the second half. And what a strong result for JP2. I think this team can really bring on defense.
I bet Takai could be an awesome goalie.
Yeah.
If she had dedicated herself to soccer instead of basketball, I can assure you she would have been a really good soccer player wherever they put her on the field. She's just an awesome athlete, great work ethic, and obviously finished off the shutout the other night. So good for her. Very cool. I believe in multi-sport athletes, so I love to see that. You know, even as her career as a basketball player is winding down, she's out there contributing to her school and to her team. Very cool. All right, well, let's talk a little bit of baseball, and we may have a delay of the Major League Baseball season, but we've got high school baseball to talk about right now. Hilton Head Prep got off to a little bit of a rocky start their first couple games. They played some sloppy defense, but they seem to have put it together now. Wins over JP2 and Battery Creek. That win over JP2, they beat Ray Johnson, who's the Golden Warriors ace, and he's one of the toughest pitchers around. So great job by HHP to get on him early and get Johnson out of the game and win that one. Big region contest there. May River got started up at the Gilbert tournament. They had some really tough competition, but came away with it with one win and a lot more positive outlook, I think, than they might have had before, just because they saw what the young guys were able to do. And then Hilton Head High off to a great start, but then they lost back-to-back games to Ashley Ridge this week. So trying to get, trying to get back on track this coming week. They started off with some kind of weaker competition in their home tournament, but they are facing the tougher teams at this point. So that'll get them ready for region play. There's going to be some great competition coming up in the area. We saw Bluffton beat John Paul II on Wednesday night. And we're going to have another nice loco on loco battle on Thursday night with May River versus Beaufort High. So looking forward to seeing that and just kind of getting started. But any other baseball teams that you're excited about right now, Wes?
Yeah, I think we've got some very nice results for the Dolphins. 8-2 region win over John Paul. Heck of a performance on the mound for Luke Foley, pitching 4 scoreless innings, striking out 5. And the offense was able to take Ray Johnson apart early. Pitching wasn't willing to blow that offensive breakthrough. So I'm really liking Jayden Robar's game at the plate right now. They also shut out Memorial Day down Battery Creek with a combined 1-hitter from Connor McDonald and Cooper Kunich. And so Chris Wells is really liking the start his boys are having. He really applied their aggressiveness at the plate. And as long as they can refrain from those bonehead errors beginning of the season, these guys will be very tough to take down. May River, a nice early season learning experience for the Sharks at the Sandlapper in Gilbert. A pair of defeats to Burns and Gilbert, but they did pick up a nice 10-2 victory over Emerald. And after just 3 hits in that loss to Burns, they really got going against Emerald. 2-for-2 day for Darren Horn, a pair of ribbies for James Lehman and Walker Taylor, and a very strong outing for pitcher Zach Murdoch, who was consistently strong for that entire game. A tough finale against Gilbert. They just ran to a hot pitcher, but this weekend should help the Sharks gear up for upcoming region play. And what a performance for Louis Smith out of Thomas Hayward, striking out 9, a huge win over John Paul. And he also did it at the plate, going 3-for-4 with 2 doubles and 4 RBIs. It's a heck of a day, especially when you're going against one of your rivals.
Yeah, I love Louis Smith. He's a 3-sport guy. Solid football player, solid basketball player, but baseball is really his main sport. But I love guys like him, and he's a real good baseball player, very good pitcher. So that Thomas Hayward team's got some talent. They hung with some solid teams in the Hilton Head High tournament. You know, did not perform well against the Seahawks, but did well against some of the other teams. So I think they've got a shot to make some noise in Skeezah for sure. All right, shifting gears over to softball, and softball been a little bit slower to get started than baseball. We haven't seen too many results coming out yet. Bluffton took down Battery Creek the other night, broke out late against them. They were playing the rematch on Wednesday, and the Dolphins were up 5-0. The last I saw, I was over there jumping between baseball and softball. They were up 5-0, and then the skies opened up and the field became unplayable, so they had to bang that one. But Battery Creek was showing signs of coming back around and performing well against Bluffton. So we'll see how that game that plays out over the season. You know, they're the defending state champs, but they lost virtually everyone off of that team and have a new coach in Bob Lehman, who's been around here for many, many years and coached a lot of the players in travel who contributed to that state championship. He'll get that program built back up, but it may take time. This year may be a little bit of a learning experience. His old school, Thomas Hayward, is off to a pretty solid start. They have beaten Beaufort High twice, and they blew out Beaufort Academy. So they had a good run through the Beaufort community this week, and we'll see how they do when they branch out elsewhere. But Izzy Cannon pitching very well, or Isabel, I believe she wants to go by now, as well as they've got a bunch of bats. I mean, everybody's hitting on that team. And then Bridges Prep has been a little bit of a surprise. They swept Whale Branch, and then they had a big win over Military Magnet. So I did not see that coming. I didn't realize Bridges Prep had so much softball talent, but it's looking like they're going to be pretty good. And I hope that we can have, you know, more solid softball teams here in the Lowcountry.
Yeah, excellent. This might be the breakthrough year for Bridges Prep. For the Bluffton Bobcats, four hits for both Isabel Spears and Parker Ray, 19-5 win over Battery Creek. And Parker Ray, an impressive day on the mound. Alyssa Rose threw a 1-2-3 inning to shut the door, and a late offensive explosion for Bluffton. Nice to see when your team can turn the machine on quickly and bury an opponent like that. And how about the day for Isabel Cannon of the Thomas Hayward Rebels? Tough loss Friday, but she goes 4-for-5 on Monday with a 3-run homer and strikes out 10 batters, a thrilling 14-13 win at Beaufort. And the Eagles almost made a miraculous comeback. They were down 11-2, drew all the way to within one after some fireworks from Nia Holmes and Madison Sanchez. And then a nice defensive play by Kaylee Bowers turning two that preserved the win for the Rebels. And that's a heck of a bounce back after what happened on Friday, being blanked by Colleton Prep. So no quit from the Eagles girls. That was an impressive game on both ends.
Yeah, absolutely. Love to see some more softball teams competing around here. Hilton Head High is also off to a solid start. You know, Bluffton and Hilton Head in particular have been so young in softball. It feels like all the talent was consolidated in the younger age groups, and but they're starting to come of age a little bit. So hopefully we'll see them a little bit more competitive here in 2020. Moving over to lacrosse, you got to see some lacrosse action live the other night. A great game between May River and Hilton Head High. The Seahawks are under first-year coach Kara Cook. They gave her first win the other night, but then they come up short in a great game against May River and lose in overtime. And our own intern, Brooke Simons, playing between the pipes for them. So that's pretty exciting, Wes.
Oh, absolutely. She was impressive. What a fantastic program that Kara Cook is developing right now. They got an enormous win over Academic Magnet. They trailed by two. They fought their way back thanks to a couple of draw controls by Anna Farabee. And then Victoria Glover put that winning goal on the board, one of her five in that game for the Seahawks. And what a player she's becoming for Hilton Head. We saw that amazing effort last night against May River. Once again, they came back down two very late. So they called a timeout, and she asked the girls in the timeout before that run, are we going to come back in this game? And they all dialed in, and they did just that. Unfortunately, they ended up on the wrong end of an overtime thriller. But you have to admire the attitude and the belief of her players that Cook is building with these Seahawks. And how about the goalie play of Brooke Simons? 9 saves last night, and she made a massive one late in the game in order for the Seahawks to eventually tie it. So go, Brooke.
And I caught up with the May River girls lacrosse coach Caitlin Szymanski after the big win.
A tough last few minutes. You had a 2-goal lead. You blew it, but you found the strength to get the job done in overtime. What did you like about your team's effort tonight?
As I was just telling them, tonight was a game of heart and fight. We had players playing in positions they'd never played before and making the most of it, and a lot of communication kind of on the fly, and the fact that the girls really care about each other and care about working together, and feel like they deserved the win, as ugly as it was in the end.
And how did the tough Richmond Hill game help you guys tonight come in here at Hilton Head?
That game got us ready for a fight. That was a tough game, and we fought hard, so did Richmond Hill, and I feel like that game could have gone either way with just like a few calls either here or there. But we learned from that that every little thing makes a difference. And unfortunately, we had to apply that tonight.
Katie came up clutch tonight. How important was her leadership tonight and through so far this season?
Katie and all the seniors have been incredibly important, but especially her, being that she was playing center tonight and as also a captain. So the girls, I look up to her, and she can remain calm in tense situations, which, of course, occurred.
And you must be pretty proud of Liz's fantastic performance goalie tonight.
Definitely. Very proud. Yeah, she played amazing tonight. Well, we definitely have to continue to... Well, tonight, if tonight's an example, we need to keep that ball on the stick, make sure that we can move the ball up the field, and we need to ice our wounds.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
May River... boys off to a 4-0 start, but they suffered their first loss on Wednesday to visiting Hilton Head High, 19-17. What a game. The Seahawks are also off to a solid start. They've got a new coach, and their team is looking pretty strong. They've got a couple very good wins, lost to a tough JL Mann team on the road, but they have dubs over Bluffton, Greenville, and May River now. And May River and Hilton Head, to me, look like the two boys lacrosse programs in the area that are going to be the most competitive and make the deepest run in the playoffs. What do you think, Wes?
Yeah, I really love this May River boys team. Three goals from Rob Godomsky, an 8-5 win at Irmo, and they followed up with a dominant showing at Effingham, 15-4 in Georgia. Godomsky continued his scoring ways along with Hudson Kramer. And then Eli Hall, fresh off a 220-pound state wrestling title, scored for the first time in his lacrosse career. That is awesome to see. Different sports still get results. And Sean Morris, the goalie, being a machine lately, 12-8 saves, respectively, in their last two games. And by the way, I like the Devil Went Down to Georgia parody made by the mayor of the Twitter account. That was pretty sweet. So well done to the folks over there for that take on the Charlie Daniels Classic.
Yeah, I actually had to get to the bottom of who was responsible for that, because that was really nice work. And it was head coach Tom Dyer who did that. So let's give the props where they are deserved. Tom Dyer, fantastic work when the Sharks went down to Georgia looking for a game to steal. That was pretty good stuff. So, yeah, we like that May River team. But Hilton Head, unfortunately, we got to get this new coach trained to send us the results and stats, because we don't have anything to go on. But the Seahawks are looking very good as well, and they beat May River. I am looking forward to the rematch on that one. I assume they play again. They do. They play at Hilton Head on April 6th. So that's going to be a good one. Mark your calendar, Wes. April 6th, May River boys at Hilton Head. Should be a good matchup.
Yeah, that will be a must to it. Two of the most dominant lacrosse programs in the area. So seeing them play head-to-head, that's going to be a fun battle to go see.
For sure. Bluffton's boys got a 14-4 win over Buford High on Wednesday. That's a nice region win for them. Ben Ramsey with 5 goals. Some of this we haven't gotten reported on the website yet because it comes in late at night. Your boys got sleeping to do. And then Buford's girls off to their best start. That's a young program that is starting to build. Meredith Reinhardt did a nice job settling the foundation last year and now trying to take it to the next level. They're off to a 2-1 start. So great job by Buford's girls lacrosse team. Let's talk a little track and field, Wes. First weekend of the track season is in the books. We had a whole lot of great local performances, so we'll kind of condense this as much as we can. But some of the more impressive ones coming from Hilton Head High had some strong showings. Their girls in particular finished 4th out of 13 at the CIU Rams Invitational up in Columbia. Buford with a great showing. Of course, the boys are 2-time defending state champs in Class 4A. Girls and boys both placed 3rd in the Diamond Hornets Invitational at Lower Richland. Had a few individual champs there that we'll get to in a minute. May River, a strong showing as well. Boys 3rd, girls 6th out of 18 teams at a really strong Sandlapper Classic in West Ashley. And then at the Adidas Low Country Invitational, Whale Branch leading the way. Girls in 6th, boys in 8th out of 12 teams. Battery Creek and Bluffton also there.
but not finishing as well in the team standings. Some individual standouts that stand out to you, Wes?
Yeah, I thought Max Baez, a great runner for cross-country and track, Hilton Head High, along with Logan Seifert. And the guy who I was most impressed with was DJ Robinson from May River. He was named the Outstanding Track Athlete of the Meet, sweeping the 110 and 400 hurdles. The boys won the 4x400 and the 4x800. So very, very great stuff over there at May River at the Sand Lapper Classic. How about Layla Warren, the basketball star for Beaufort, winning the javelin? That was pretty impressive for the Eagles. And then we got some discus champions in Aaron Rivers and Jaquez Frazier, both at Whale Branch. So awesome stuff for a bunch of these athletes, not just in the track, but also in the field events. So you always expect some strong outings for the Seahawks, but May River with an excellent boys third place result. And some nice discus throwers showing their stuff at Whale Branch and Bluffton. And I'm really excited to see Myra Smith's future as well at Battery Creek, second in the 100 meters, third in the long jump. So that girl's quite the athlete.
Yeah, another great basketball player there as well. DJ Robinson, I mean, I know that name now for sure. Going to be keeping an eye on that. Big-time performance from him. And May River's boys, of course, are also defending state champs in Class 3A. So looking forward to seeing what they do this season. A little bit of boys tennis to talk about. Most teams have not really gotten started yet, but May River won the Crosstown Showdown against the Bobcats from Bluffton in their opener, swept the singles matches, and then lost a three-setter in doubles. So great start for the Sharks. Bobcats will be pretty young this year, so we'll see how they fare as the season goes on. And that's our rundown of the spring sports. So now we shift gears, Wes, and we name our performers of the week. So I believe what we've established as a protocol is you'll have a boy and a girl. I'll have a boy and a girl. So I'll let you take the first crack.
I'm going to go with Davidson Alvarez for Bluffton Soccer. He was just about everywhere against JP2, a monster line of 3 goals, 3 assists as he led his team in a total domination over the Golden Warriors. And the offense flowed through him all game long. And I'll tell you what, this Bluffton team is starting to look pretty scary. I'm starting to question if anyone else will have the firepower in their region to stop this high-octane attack. And Ariel Zacharon and my performer of the week, Davidson Alvarez.
Excellent choice. How about your girl?
I'm going to go with Isabel Cannon of Thomas Hayward Softball. 4-for-5 day, a 3-run homer, and 10 strikeouts, and an enormous 14-13 win at Beaufort High. And not easy to come back and play after you get blanked, but she put in at the plate and on the mound to will her team to an impressive dub. So the entire game, amazing display of fight and heart, but Cannon living up to her name Monday night, did all for the Rebels.
All right, great choices. I do appreciate you leaving this one for me. My boys performer of the week, I'm going to go with DJ Robinson from the May River track team. As we mentioned, outstanding track athlete of the meet, swept the 110 and 400 hurdles, and helped the 4x100 win gold as well. So first meet of the season, bringing home 3 golds is always a great showing, and I'm excited to follow him and see, you know, what he can do this season and maybe help the Sharks win another state championship. So that's my boys performer of the week. And then on the girls' side, having a little bit tougher time, but I am going to go with, let me get my stats pulled up here. I'm going to go with Mackenzie Hamrick from Bridges Prep Softball. We have not covered them a whole lot over the time that they've had softball there at Bridges Prep, but Mackenzie Hamrick, they call her Mac, she hit 2 home runs and drove in 6 runs in a win over Military Magnet. 4-for-4 with a double, a triple, 2 homers, and 6 RBIs, and she scored 3 times. So, Wes, if she had just stopped at first on one of her home runs, she'd have hit for the cycle.
Yeah.
But that's always my beef with the cycle is it's always better to have 2 doubles, 2 triples, or a homer than it is to have that single. So I don't always get too excited about the cycle. It's just a fun anomaly. But Hamrick, even better than a cycle. Double, triple, 2 bombs and 6 ribbies. Great day for her, and I'm excited to keep an eye on Bridges Prep Softball and see how they do this season.
This seems like that mystical hitting for the cycle. If it was me, maybe I would have done it. I just feel like hitting for the cycle is a big accomplishment just in terms of and my thoughts, but you know, in terms of if you're looking at slugging percentage, a double's better than a single, triple's better than a single. So, yeah. So there you go.
It's a cycle with three bonus total bases. How about that?
Yeah.
As long as you get at least a single, double, triple, and homer in four different at-bats, I'll count it. Great job by Hamrick. Great job by Bridges Prep. So now that takes us to our teams of the week. All right, so our teams of the week, Wes, you get the first shot. Who you got?
Well, I'm going to do a first here. Even though this team did not bring home a state title, I think they're still the obvious choice for me. What Whale Branch did this year in basketball to the community of Seabrook this year was just remarkable. These guys were not even 2A preseason top 10 this year, but it didn't matter. They fought and battled every single postseason game. They never gave in when the chips were down, especially in that incredible lower state championship comeback. And they were led by a guy whose efforts were bigger than the game of basketball. Nick Pringle is the epitome of a student athlete, one who dedicates himself. He makes his entire team the best they could be, and he strives to better his entire community. And when will we find another Nick Pringle? I don't know. I've really enjoyed covering this squad so much. Jim Raymond must be incredibly proud of what he did and so in his team. These messages that they can take with them for not just their basketball careers, but for their entire lives. So one last time, I want to tip my hat to a team that did it the right way. They were just a couple shots away from a state championship and something so far off in the distance at the beginning of the year. But through their battle mentality, even when some adversity came their way all the way through the playoffs, they emerged again and again. So congratulations to your 2A lower state champion, Whale Branch Warriors.
I love that choice. Absolutely love it. That team was so much fun to watch. They were so appreciative of our coverage and, so positive in every way and really picked each other up. And you can tell that a lot of those kids have been through a lot together, that there was really a brotherhood there and just a fun team to watch and be around and enjoy their success. So I hope that they can continue that success as the season goes along or as their careers go along, their lives go on after high school basketball and continue to be productive members of society and just better themselves. Awesome bunch of kids. I'm going to go a little off the board here too. A team that we maybe didn't have on our radar coming into the season, and that's Battery Creek Boys Soccer. They are 3-0 and actually will be 4-0 now because they won by forfeit over Whale Branch last night. Outscored their first three opponents 18-0. That's Beaufort High, which they beat 4-0. Stahl, they beat 1-0. And Wade Hampton, they beat 13-0. And then they win by forfeit over Whale Branch. So they're sitting at 4-0 going into a game against John Paul II tonight. That will be a pretty good litmus test for them. And then they'll have to travel to May River for a region game against the defending state champs on the 17th. So that will be a tough one for them. But Battery Creek off to a great start. New coach Garland Cole has them playing great. They got a couple of really talented players. Sonny Quintanilla is one of them who's been putting up big numbers. And they've got some guys. They've been kind of slowly building that program and competing more and more. And now it looks like they may be a factor and could at least contend for the number two spot in that region behind May River. A couple other guys playing well right now. Alex Cruz has been a solid player for them. Talmadge Magby and Kenny Diaz had big games the other night. And then Dallin Morgan with seven saves against Wade Hampton for his third consecutive shutout. So great start for Battery Creek Boys Soccer. All right, Wes. Well, anything else to chat about before we wrap this thing up and send people on their way?
Well, just with this outbreak hitting closer to home every day, I'm just hoping everyone stays safe and doesn't try to do too much. I know this can be a scary time for many people, but I'm hoping we'll get through it quickly. I'm hoping that we keep washing hands, hoping that we make right decisions about what we do on a daily basis. And as we transition some schools, especially colleges and universities, online learning, it'll be interesting to see what will happen with schools in the area going down the road. And I just hope we all go with the corrective measures to keep everyone intact.
Agreed. The biggest thing I can say is just to trust the experts and they're doing the research. They have the data. They know the best ways. They've studied this their whole lives, how to, control outbreaks like this. So let's trust them. Let's take their advice. And if that means, that we need to postpone sports or whatever events for a couple of weeks or a month or 2 months to get everybody back to health and ride this thing out and get back on track, then let's heed their advice and try to get everybody through it as healthy as possible. And we definitely want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So thanks for bringing that up, Wes. I appreciate that and agree completely.
Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks so much for being a part of the podcast and everything we do at locosports.com. And until next time, go Loco.